Well, praise God that if you fail, God loves him enough to send someone else. Now, I just want you to know, but his best shot at getting saved is through you. But if you fail, don't get under condemnation. God loves him enough that if you die tonight, God's going to send someone else to give that rascal another chance. Okay? But hey, you say, Brother Floyd, do you really believe this word? Hey, girls, I'm telling you that the Word of God just taught us in that verse that submissiveness is so powerful, it'll lead a lost husband to the Lord. That's power. There is power in submissiveness and in not demanding our rights. While they behold your chaste lifestyle or conversation, coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that of the outward adorning of the plaiting of hair and the wearing of gold and the putting on of apparel. Now, that doesn't mean it's sin to wear something pretty. What it means is, don't depend on that. Now, don't depend on that for your real beauty. That the real beauty is you. God made you beautiful. Now, the object you wear doesn't have to be wrong. It's how far did you go with it. Listen, let me be bold. Girls, some of you wear so much makeup these days, I can't see you. I can't spot you. I know you're behind all that stuff somewhere. But see, I'd like to see you. And if I can't see you, it's too much. Same thing with hairdos. You know, some girls get so much hairdo on, I can't even see their eyeballs. I mean, God gave them those lovely little eyeballs, and I can't even see them. I can't even see their nose with some of these hairdos. If you've got so much gold and silver on, you know, that the lights are dazzling me, and I can't see you. See, I want to see your eyes because the Bible reveals in Luke 11 that the eye is the mirror of the soul, and I want to see your soul. I want to see what you're like on the inside. I want to know if I need to lead you to Jesus or whether I've got a sister there that I can rejoice with. And if I can't see your eyes for all the dazzling sparkles, you got too much on. You say, well, now, Brother Floyd, just how much should I take? That's it. That's it, see. Abstain from all appearance of evil. I'm not going to give you a ritualistic thing. I'm just telling you from the Lord that if I can't see your soul for all that you got on, you got too much on. You say, are you against these things? No, I'm not against anything. I'm for what God said. Verse 4, look, God agrees. What do you know? Let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek, girls, look at that word, a meek and quiet spirit. Wow. Which is in the sight of God, great price. You say, but Brother Floyd, that's not what's popular today. The things of God have never been popular. This says in the sight of God, girls, this is very popular. Now, you have to decide whether you're going to be a man-pleaser or a God-pleaser. I want to please God. God says, by a meek, quiet spirit. Let that be your real beauty. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in submission to their own husbands. Now, hear this. See, people are always reading scriptures like this and say, well, Brother Floyd, that's passé. It's for the olden days. Back there when Timothy and Peter and James and John and Jesus were here. Wait a minute. He says this was the way in the old times. He's saying that back in the old times before they were here, this is the way women behaved. And look at the example. Verse 6. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, with a little L, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Now, let me say this about that. See, the scripture refers back to Sarah as the example. And when did Sarah live compared to Peter? About 1,500 years. In other words, Peter was teaching that even though it was 1,500 years ago, it's still true today. So I say to you, since Peter lived about 1,900 years ago, it's still true, because I don't believe these are Corinthian truths. I don't believe these are truths for the olden days. I believe they're eternal, eternal truths. Now, I must add this because of bad teaching that's crept into the body of Christ. When it says here, she obeyed calling him Lord, people are teaching that means that when he told her to deceive Pharaoh and Abimelech and tell him that she was Abram's sister, which is a half-truth, and half-truths are lies. Deceit is a lie, and it's a lie is a sin. They tell, see, she submitted and went into the harem, and that's what she should have done. No, she shouldn't have. The Bible says flee fornication. The Bible says flee all appearance of evil. She should have submitted and not obeyed. And they use this and said, see, it says she obeyed, calling him Lord. She didn't call him Lord in those stories. The scripture, that the only scripture in the entire Old Testament where she called him Lord, is in Genesis chapter 18, verse 12, when she called him Lord in regards to the promise that God was going to give him a son. Got it? Big difference. See, they're taking it out of context. Now, I don't want to stay on that issue. I think enough has been said.
Girls, I'd like for you to look with me real quickly, and fellows too, at Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs 31. Let's see what the Word of God says to us about, as He paints a portrait for us in words, of a virtuous woman, of a good wife, of a wife of noble, godly character. Look with me then at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that she shall have no need of spoil. See, he can trust her. He can trust her to delegate authority to her, to be faithful to him in all things, to not talk about him to her neighbors behind his back. That he can trust her, that she will be chaste in all things. Verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Ooh, boy, that's a biggie. She will do him good and not evil. Now, God says that is a portrait of a virtuous woman. Notice how hard she works. She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands, not grudgingly and grumping. I shouldn't be doing this. Now, I might add that as we read this, this is not a proverb from Solomon. This is one from Lemuel, and he was a king, and this is some teachings that God made through him, whoever Lemuel was, and some teachings from his mother passed on to him through the Lord. So he actually is speaking probably pretty much of his own wife, though he's speaking in general. I don't mean just of his own wife, but these are true truths. They're eternal truths. Although you'll see some of the things here concern a woman of reasonably good stature from a financial standpoint, because we'll see some things she has that some of you girls may not have. On the other hand, maybe you could pray and ask God to give you some of these blessings. But it says she works, even though she seems to be well-to-do through here, she still is a good hard worker. She works willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth forth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night. Boy, still dark outside. And fixes breakfast to her household and a portion to her maidens. See, she's even got girls that serve her. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. In other words, somehow she's earned some money, and we'll see how. In verse 24, it says, for example, she makes fine linen and sells it and delivers girdles unto the merchant. So she makes things with her hands and sells it, and with these earnings that she makes, she doesn't feel like it's hers, and she doesn't feel like that's going to make her an independent woman where she can go do her own thing. But it says, with the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She considers a field. Now, someone says, well, Brother Floyd, how can she go out and buy a field and things like that if she's really not the head of the family? Well, that's because, as we'll see in a few moments in other verses, because the two of them are one. If we take the whole counsel of the Word of God into account here, under the husband's delegated authority, she can do anything. She can pay the bills or anything that the husband delegates to her, as long as it would not violate the Word of God. In other words, the husband does not have the authority to turn the family over to her on a permanent basis, because that would be against the teachings of the Lord. That would be the husband abdicating the God-given responsibility and authority that God gave him, and God would not honor that. But the point is, she uses the money she earned with her hands for family good. And so, yes, I'm sure here, when you take the whole counsel of the Word, that she didn't just go out and buy the field without talking to her husband. That would not. But as she made the money, would talk with him, because they're one, they would communicate. And that she would buy a field that would join and make the entire family better off, and that the two of them would really be one. She wouldn't consider it was her field. It would be their field. Verse 17, she girds her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. She's healthy. Okay? She perceives that her merchandise is good. Her lamp goes out not by night. She works late into the night, or studies the Bible late into the night, or talks to her husband late in the night, or so on. She lays her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She's a hard worker. She's industrious. And now look at verse 20. This is beautiful. She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She's compassionate. This is a good wife. She's compassionate. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. They're covered. She's made plans for the cold. She's thought it through, and she's looking ahead. She makes herself coverings of tapestry, and her clothing is silk and purple. Again, this indicates that she's pretty well off financially, this one is. And maybe that indicates that if we walk with God, God will bless us more. But that doesn't mean that all this prosperity teaching is completely true. Part of it is, part of it isn't. Yes, God would love for all of us to be healthy and wealthy all the time, but God knows better. The Bible says over and over again how difficult it is for the rich to be saved, for the rich to walk right with God. And we must think, some of us, that God is kidding about that. God knows our sin nature. He knows that that it would destroy a lot of us. God knows that a lot of times the only time we'll turn to him and listen to him is when we're flat of our back sick, or when our wife is flat of her back sick, or our children are sick, or when we're down and out for money and we're having to turn to God again, because as long as we've got a lot of money and we're healthy, we tend to feel very independent. Yes, God would love to bless us, and someday he will forever when he's dealt with that sin nature and we no longer have it with us. But then verse 23 says, her husband is known in the gates where he sits among the elders of the land. In other words, the husband here of this good woman, he's a ruler. He's one of the top men. He's an alderman. He's a council member. He's an elder. So naturally, if he's down at the gate doing work, that means someone has to be left in charge of the house. And the person that he left in charge, he delegated it to his wife. That's why, back in verse 16, she could consider the field and buy it. It didn't mean she went out and bought it without considering the husband's wishes in the thing, but that he delegates this while he's gone. When you leave, if you own a business, if you own a corporation, if you're a chairman of the board, if you're a division manager, when you leave, someone has to be left in charge to make decisions. And you have to stand by these decisions they make. You delegate it to them. Verse 24, she makes fine linen, sells it, delivers girdles unto the merchants. Compare that to verse 16 and 19. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in times to come. Now here it is. Look how gracious and tender she is here. The good wife, the virtuous woman, the noble wife. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looks well to the ways of her household. Observe here, it says she looks after the ways of her household. Now, Titus chapter 2 says that the woman should guide and govern the house. I'm reading very quickly to you from Titus in chapter 2, verse 3, 4, and 5. Listen carefully. The older women likewise, that they be in behavior as becomes holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. What good things? That they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers of the home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. I see here some very important things. It's amazing to me that God said that the older would need to teach their wives to love their children. It seems that even in the past, God knew. Even in these days, God knew that there was trouble in the world of women that didn't love their own children, women that didn't love their own husbands. And so God was reminding that there's a tremendous responsibility, a tremendous ministry within the body of Christ, a duty, a responsibility, an opportunity, a joy for you older, not just older in physical age, but in spiritual age, to minister these truths. This, in fact, is the only scripture I can find in the Bible, in the entire Bible, where God told women to teach anything. And in fact, these are the things that God told you to teach. You say, goodness, it seems like he should have given us something more important to teach. Beloved, there is nothing more important within the body of Christ. This is his instructions to you to teach within the body of Christ. Now, I might add very quickly that when you girls are amongst the lost, by virtue of the Great Commission, you can preach, teach, evangelize, you be an apostle, you can minister anything when you're with the lost. Down at the church, God has an order. He's very explicit about that order, and there's power when we're in that order. God is still looking for a church. God is still looking for a man. God is still looking for a woman that will submit themselves, submit their wills to the Word of God when we receive His Word and His revelation, rather than trying to say, well, that was for the olden days, or something like that. Titus chapter 2 says that the woman should guide and govern the house. We read that scripture, that the woman is to have her place is there in the home. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14, although it's specifically talking about young widows, it's also talking about women in general, that God says that he wanted them to marry and to have children and to guide and govern the home, that was their place. Here again in Proverbs. So in the Old and New Testament, we see this. You say, well, Brother Floyd, does this mean women shouldn't work? Well, now, these scriptures have already told us that God wants women to work. You say, but this was talking about working around the home in this, and in the fields around the home here in this teaching. All right, let me just say this. I believe if you look from one end of the Word of God to the other, I believe that that's true. Women should not be out working away from their husbands. I would say that the exception to women working other than the home would be like, for example, if your husband owned the store or the fields or whatever, and that you were working there in the store with your husband and under his protection. Because listen to me, girls, some of you go out and you work in banks, you're tellers, you work in stores, men come in, they throw passes at you, they make ungodly remarks at you, they get mad at you because they're angry about some mess up in the money there at the bank, some way the system has fouled up their account, and they'll come in and they'll take it out on you. And you'll just have to sit there and take all kind of verbal abuse. They wouldn't do that if your husband was standing there. They'd talk to your husband. Or you could refer an irate man to your husband. Now, God in His wisdom said that He wanted the husband, that the family structure was to protect and provide for you in love, that the husband would cover you and protect you and be an atonement for you in this. No, it was never God's. Now, I know that's un-American. I know the world system isn't geared to this. But, beloved, the world system has always rejected God's plan for the home, God's plan for the individuals. And so I can only tell you what God's Word would say. Girls, if you want to really be happy, you stay under your husband's protection. Now, as long as I'm on that, I may as well read this to you. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, see the problem, why are you girls working? Almost every time you think you've got to have a color television set or two cars or extra clothes and everything, but in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, God says, godliness with contentment is great gain. And the Lord goes on to say in verse 8 that having food and raiment, we should be content. So girls, you're trapped. You've left your children. Your children are being raised by other people that are keeping them. They're being taught their beliefs and their philosophy of life. And someday that's going to come back on us. In 1 Timothy, there's another reason that you should be there with your husband. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 through 15, let me read that to you very quickly. It says, let the woman learn in silence with all submissiveness. I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. And the reason, he says, is from the Old Testament. From the beginning. In other words, God says, hey, this was true when Paul and Timothy were there, and it was true back in the Garden of Eden. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Therefore, if it's been true for all those thousands of years, it's still true. And Adam was not deceived. The woman was deceived in the transgression. So girls, God does teach here in His Word that you are more easily deceived than your husband. I know that's not popular, but that is what God says. And so we should remember this. You have other attributes that offset that and that we men need. But this one thing, you know how it is. Some of you girls receive great blessings from the Lord. You told your husband about it and he'd say, oh yeah, well let me think about that. Show me 400 scriptures. And he would think, men are slower to make those kind of decisions. As a result, we tend to miss sometimes blessings of the Lord. But you girls jump in and can be carried away by every wind of doctrine sometimes. Out yonder in some, by something that may spiritually happen, and you're just judging what happened rather than by the Word of God. But somewhere between those two extremes of a husband, you know, taking 6 months to make the decision over a blessing from God and a wife receiving it instantly, somewhere between them is the place where God wants. Okay? Praise the Lord. And so again, in Proverbs 31:27, it says, she looks well to the ways of her household and eats not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Girls, you want your children to call you blessed instead of the old lady? You know, instead of saying, oh, Mom, and stuff like that. Let God lead you through the Spirit. Now, if you grit your teeth to be this, that'll be bondage. But if you let the Spirit produce this in you, your children will rise up and call you blessed. Even your husband will praise you, it says. And it says he praises her and says, where does he praise her? He praises her, and I'm going to add the Floyd Jones version, and says, many daughters have done virtuously, but you, my wife, excel them all. Boy, wouldn't you like for your husband to say verse 29 to you? And so, observe here, see, this husband doesn't have so many family problems because he's got a good wife that's, verse 12, that's always doing him good and not talking about him behind his back. This is a good wife, so that since he doesn't have so many family problems, he can direct his energy toward his job while he's on the job and be a daddy when he comes home. And so, verse 30, favor or charm is deceitful. Girls, see, here's what the American system, the television sets, the radio, the advertisements, the whole world system is trying to teach you to be like Farrah Fawcett Majors, to look like that, to look like some glamour girl on some magazine. But look what God says. Favor or charm is deceitful. You send your kids to charm school. That's deceit. And beauty is vanity. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. In other words, at the gate where the hell court, where the elders were meeting back in verse 3, it says, even the leaders will praise this kind of woman. Praise the Lord. Girls, would you like to be that kind of woman? Would you like to have these things happen in your life? then be obedient to the things God says, and He will produce this in you, for you, and through you, because this is His will for the family. Now, let me ask a question. Girls, suppose I ask you, girls, in here right now, girls, are you faithful to Christ? Are you faithful to Christ? You're married to Him. You're betrothed to Him. You're the wife of God, the bride. So is the husband, but I mean, I'm talking to you girls especially tonight. Now, if I ask you that, what would your answer be? Well, you know, most of you say, well, of course, Brother Floyd, I'm not perfect. And that's true. And you might, you know, in a very high moment of spirituality there, might say, but I'm at least, now I'd say I'm 90% faithful to the Lord. Yes, I love the Lord. I'm 90% faithful to Him. And see, Satan makes you feel real good because you're comparing yourself to each other. I looked pretty good, too, when I compared myself to Mussolini and old Adolf. See, but unfortunately, that's not the standard. Jesus is the standard. And see, sometimes, girls, we start feeling real good because we feel like, well, I'm more submissive than Sally. Of course, Sally just blessed her husband out about every day this week. But, you know, now, let me show you what I mean. If you feel spiritual over being 90% faithful to Jesus, what if I ask you, well, how's about your husband? In this lordship thing to your husband, in the submissiveness to your husband, in submitting to Jesus. How are you in submitting to Jesus? Well, 90%. Okay. And you feel real good. Well, how about your own husband? Well, Brother Floyd, I'd say about 90%. Okay. Now, let's take it out of the spiritual and put it in the physical. Now, how would you feel if your husband was 90% faithful to you with his secretary at the office? No sweat, girls. You know, 90% of the time, 9 days out of 10, he's faithful to you down there. But that one day out of 10. So you can see what I'm getting at, can't you? Would you say someone's really a faithful husband that's only faithful 9 days out of 10? No. They're called adulterers, aren't they? Now, I'm getting us all to see something. Therefore, girls, you would be an adulteress also if you were only faithful to your husband in physical matters 9 days out of 10. You'd be an adulteress. All right. Now, I've said that to say this. If you're submissive to your husband, therefore, 9 days out of 10 and you feel real good about it, then you're a spiritual adulteress. It's the only place you can come to. Right? So, don't get under condemnation. Rejoice. There's room for growth. You can do that. God can produce this in you. Hey, see, I believe it'll work because God says so. And therefore, I believe you can have a marriage that can be the rock of that's geared to the rock of ages and be part of the rock. Your marriage can be so strong, I believe with all my heart, that it'll be so closely tied to God, I'll see Jesus when I see the two of them. And the heathens on your street, they'll see Him too. And so, beloved, girls, you're saying this to me right now, Brother Floyd, I can't submit like that. That's beyond my ability to do in the energy of the flesh and gritting my teeth and effort. There's only one way I could ever pull that off. I'd have to depend on God. Yeah, that's what we learned about the husband. He was going to have to depend on God. Great! Now we got you depending on God for this kind of power, and your husband depending on God. Great Zot, we've got the family depending on God. I know Satan doesn't want you to hear that. Right? Now, God's going to hold every one of you girls responsible for your choice to submit your will to God, to submit your will to your husband, and to submit to God through your husband. But God will reward you for that by having the best home you've ever seen. Listen to me, girls. If you do this, it will set you free through submission to be the unique you you've always wanted to be. Because when you do that, you're completely protected, and you don't have to fret, girl. You don't have to fret about the finances. Hey, that's up to Him. He knows He can't handle it, so He turned it over to Jesus. He's going to go to work and do His work as unto the Lord. And when you've got financial problems, He's going to pray and God's going to do something. And you can relax. And He will set you free to be the unique you. Coverings, authorities over our heads are given, hear me, for protection to make us secure. I am absolutely secure in Jesus. I am. I know who's protecting me.
I know he's put the hedge around me. I know he sealed me with the Spirit of God until the day of redemption. And I can rest that God is not going to let me start to... I have never seen the righteous forsaken or received begging bread. I'm secure in that. And if you... Now, when Shirley sees me resting in Jesus, not uptight all the time, because I have learned the power of submission. I believe it. I believe him covering me has set me free to be the unique me that he wanted me to be. In Jesus. And that he will cover me and protect me, and I am secure in this. And as I'm secure, she gets secure. She comes and says, Floyd, what are we going to do about this note that's coming up? I said, I've turned it over to the Lord. Hear me, husbands. When your wife comes to you and says things like that to you, honey, what are we going to do? We've got this coming up. What are we going to do? Let me tell you what the devil does. He gets you frustrated. I don't know what we're going to do. Why are you coming to me? I ain't got all the answers. I'm not God. You just fell right into the devil's trap. You misused your authority by abdicating the throne. You just abdicated. Now, what you were supposed to do is let her know what's going on. Hun, you're right. There's a real problem. However, as the family priest, I have taken this to someone that can handle it. Jesus. So everything's going to be okay. You can relax. Oh. And if she sees you mean it, hey, you can blab that with your lips, but I'm going to tell you what, those little girls will see right through us. If you're doing that in the flesh, they'll see right through it and you won't make it. But if you really turn it over to Jesus, she'll watch and watch you and watch you. And pretty soon she'll just relax too. And hey, fellas, then that nagging woman is off your back. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, beloved, very quickly then, I want to give you a few instructions about children. Very, very quickly. Would you look with me here at Ephesians chapter 6? Ephesians chapter 6. Now, as you're looking for Ephesians chapter 6, let me say this very quickly. These principles are true in God's family, the church. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 15, God says this, girls, I don't let you teach the men. I don't let you usurp authority. There's no way in your family that I'm going to let you be in a position of submission to your head, the husband, and let you go down to church and take over him and be over him. That would be chaotic. It would be confusion. And I am not a God of confusion. So I call you not only to be submissive to your husband in your own family, but to be submissive to the men that I put over you, to love you and protect you, to protect and provide for you spiritually, to do it, be done in love. The problem is in the church hierarchies, so many times, in many denominations, it's not done in love. It's done with authoritarian dictatorship, which is not God's way. God does not change his ways at the church that he does in the family. And so, see, we've got men in spiritual authority that act like little semi-oriental despots, don't we? They are not of God. It is not God's way. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, elders, feed the flock. Not by constraint. Don't do it for money. Don't be an overlord. Love them is the idea. Okay? So that man right there that God has given you is to love you into this kind of submissiveness. I am to love you into submissiveness. You're being submissive right now. You've not gotten up and shaken your fist and walked out. You know, and for some of us tonight, it's been difficult probably. Because the Holy Spirit, you know, boy, he touches real live spots on us, right?